Checkmate.
This is the Chestnut Checkers Podcast.
Checkmate.
Learn a new mindset to create wealth.
We need to be more independent thinkers, man.
Passive income.
Mathematics is precise.
A successful business.
Chess moves.
And money management strategies.
This is Chestnut Checkers.
So, hey guys, welcome to another episode of Strategy Sunday. We got a couple of stocks we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about a couple of stocks. We're going to talk about a lot of great things that are going on in the market right now. So the thing about it, what kind of scares me, what bothers me is that because the market's a little stagnant right now, it's a lot of weird stuff going in the market. It's so sad that a lot of people are quitting, right? And that's what always bothers me with finance, with a lot of things, is that when you know, it's not as good anymore, people get uncomfortable. I don't want to do this no more. They just quit. And that's not where we want to be. We don't want to be like that. We don't want to be people who quit when the going gets tough. That's why a lot of people fail in life. That's why a lot of people fail when they begin things. That's why a lot of people fail at endeavors they take on, because they give up as soon as there's a little setback. I don't want to do this. I'm going to go back to watching football on Saturday, Sunday. At least I feel good. At least I could cheer for my team. At least I could feel like I'm part of something. And I don't have to deal with all this stuff, man. And that's how people are. But that's what separates the excellent from the average people. And sometimes it's good in some ways, because some people, they let them do all that stuff and there's less competition for us. So what I want to do is I want to talk about a story and something that has affected my life, right? And I want you guys to understand the thing about it is that in life, we have these certain obstacles that happen, right? We got these things that happen to us. I want to make sure that you guys know what's going on, right? How to get through certain points in your life. Because a lot of times I use examples from my life. A lot of times I use probably different things that happen in my life so you guys understand how I came to be like I am, how I came to think like I am, right? So I want to talk about tonight, before we get into these stocks, before we get into these fintech, because we're going to talk about that tonight, before we get into real estate investment trust, diversifying your portfolio, before we talk about these two stocks that may change your life, I want to talk about something that experience that I had, right? And basically, it's an experience explaining how you cannot be comfortable in life. That's what we just talked about, right? Is that a lot of people, a lot of your friends, family, whatever, anytime they're doing something, when something gets a little rough, they just, I go back to my comfortable lifestyle. I want to go back to where I was before. I want to go back to being kind of, a lot of people run from being uncomfortable. They hide from it. They hate it. They'll live their life in comfort, but they haven't grown. They haven't done anything. I'm going to tell you this. If you're comfortable right now in your life, if everything's going cool, you don't want to really change nothing, you like where you are, I'm telling you, it's something wrong with the path that you're going. Because when there's growth happening, when there's deep, profound change happening in your life, you're not going to be comfortable. I promise you that. You're not going to be comfortable. You're not going to be, a little comfortable laying back. I'm okay. No, it's not going to be like that. When there's profound change taking place in your life, you're not going to be comfortable. You're not going to be, in your comfort zone. Everything's cool, whatever. No, it's going to be a lot of change, a lot of pain, struggle, things you don't understand, confusion. But what does that do? That's that struggle that makes us grow. And a lot of you guys will run from that. You should accept that. And I want struggle. I want pain. I want, because I know I'm going to come out the other side a greater man. So I'm going to tell you a story of how this happened to me one time. Now, some of you guys know I play basketball in Puerto Rico. Now, people say, man, you had a failed career. You played, you was on the team, but you didn't play that. But for me, that was a success for me, because I never should have been there in the first place. So for me playing on the court with Olympians, that was a success for me. But it's perspective how you look at it. But I want to talk about one of the experiences down there that I've taken with me for the rest of my life. Is that, so 2006, right? Y'all forgot to put the badges on, sorry. So 2006, I'm in Puerto Rico, right? In Puerto Rico, I'm playing basketball and I'm at a camp, right? The pre-draft camp. And that's the camp where people go to when they're learning. The pre-draft camp is where people go down there who are prospects to play in the league. Puerto Ricans, you have to be Puerto Rican born to go to that camp a Puerto Rican native. That means that you have at least two grandparents that was born in Puerto Rico. That means you're a Puerto Rican native. So that being said, I had, there's two people. So I'm in Puerto Rico, trying out. So in this pre-draft camp, basketball camp, we were basically running games and you got cameras and scouts out there watching you, representatives from different teams watching you. I'm murdering everybody. I'm catching them off the rim, dunking on people. I was the leading forward in that league, right? I'm the leading forward at that camp. I won an award, everything. So at that point, I was killing everybody. It wasn't even that hard. And I was like, man, I'm going to come down here and dominate this league. Man, I just scored like 20 points and I didn't even play but half the game. One of the games, I had like 20 rebounds, 20 points, like 7 blocks in one game, which is ridiculous if you guys follow basketball. So I start getting a big head. I'm like, man, I'm going to come to Puerto Rico and dominate these dudes. I'm going to be the best player that ever comes out of Puerto Rico. So now in the middle of the camp, one of the representatives from, at the time, it was the biggest team in Puerto Rico, the Cangrejeros, Santurce. So he comes to me and says, hey, man, just go ahead and skip the rest of the camp, which is only like 4 hours left. Anyway, come to practice with us tonight. We want to see how you look in practice, right? I get in the car and I just quit camp. I already won the award, so I left. So I go to camp. I mean, this is after I already played all day, too. So I get in the car, go to camp. And I'm like, man, I played all day. I don't worry about it. It ain't that hard. So I get in the car, drive. Remember, at the time I was in Salinas, and I went all the way to Santurce, which is like an hour and a half drive, right? Now, I get off and go right to practice. So I get off the thing. I get out the car. I change into the practice gear for the Cangrejeros. And I'm playing, right? And then for about an hour, man, we doing like little drills. This ain't nothing, man. I'm going to murder these dudes. They're a lot bigger now than the camp. They're a lot stronger than the camp. They're a lot older. They look a lot more experienced than the camp. But I'm still going to kill them, and this ain't nothing. So an hour goes by. We're doing all these workouts. I'm like, man, this ain't nothing, man. When is time to play? So an hour went by. And then they're like, well, warm-up's over. Now it's time to get into the practice. I was like, oh, man. I felt like I was doing something, man. That was just warm-ups at that point, I knew I was in trouble. That was just warm-ups for an hour. So, oh, man. So I started playing, right? And, man, I got murdered, man. Murdered for the next 2 hours. Remember, professional practices be 4 hours. That first hour was just warm-up. Next 3 hours, man, I get murdered, dunked on, knocked over, can't score nothing. And then it humbled me greatly, man. It humbled me greatly because I realized, man, you ain't as good as you thought you were. But then I went along and I kept going back to practice, kept showing up. But every day I'd go home, I'd be battered. I'd be bruised. I'd be completely sore the next day, but I'd go back the next day. And one day I got elbow in the throat, couldn't talk for 2 days, but I kept showing up. I kept fighting, right? Every day I was sore. Every day I was uncomfortable. Every day I was in pain a little bit. Every day I had a little bit of fear. What am I doing? I can't do this. So after a while, all that work and all that pain, I'm looking down at my legs. My legs are bigger than I've ever seen in my life. Strong, big tree trunk legs. I realize I'm jumping high as I ever jumped in my life. I notice on the court, I'm seeing things that I never saw before in my life. Right? Now, that was the best shape. I had looked down on my stomach. I got abs now. I never had them in my life. All that struggle, all that pain, all that sacrifice, all that uncomfortableness got me to be the best shape I ever been in my life. And it helped me understand the world a lot better. That's what we're talking about here, is that you have to be uncomfortable. You have to be in a position where everybody around you is better than you because they pulled me up to their level. When I showed up the first day, I was nowhere near what they were. But by the time 2-3 months into the practice, I was on their level. I looked like one of them. I had big arms. I had abs. I played like them. Now the new people were coming. They looked at me like, I can never be on this dude's level. It's because of that struggle. When you first show up to something, it could be a learning. It could be education. It could be a new industry. It could be a new job. You're not going to be with everybody else the first day. That's what that struggle is for. That's what that pain and loss is for. That's what, you may lose some money in stocks. You may lose some money in crypto. That's part of your path. And we got to understand that's part of the game to get to where you need to be. I just want to drop that message because so many people give up before it's too late, right when they're at that point where they could reach an epiphany where they'd understand everything, or that next trade could have made them a lot of money, or that next business could have been the one for them. They give up. I quit. I can't do this. I don't want to do this anymore. I'd rather be comfortable. I'd rather go lay down and watch Netflix all day, maybe watch one of the games, or maybe go with my friends. I don't want to do this anymore. But that giving up is what causes so many people so much pain down the line. In most cases, not giving up is the best thing to do for your life. Because if you continue to give up everything you try, you take a course here, take a course there, look at it, give up everything, you're going to continuously be back where you started at. So what was all that for? You have to refuse to give up. When you have something in your sights, you're not going to give up no matter what. It's going to happen. Come hell or high water. And you got to have that mindset, right? So let's talk a little bit about diversifying stock gains. Then we're going to move on to Bitcoin in China. Then we're going to talk about financial technology and some of the stocks that are going to do well as this movement grows, right? Let's move on. So now I want to talk a little bit about diversifying those stock gains. And the reason is because what's happening now is that the market could be retracting. Now, eventually it will retract, right? There's nothing wrong with that. That's how things work. And the thing about it is that the most money is made in a retracted market. That's what's so sad, is that the average person walking around, the average dude, he gives up. When it's down, that's when you should be getting into it harder. Because the biggest gains are made in the bear market. Because the market comes back up, you got it while it was low. That's when you should be looking harder. But most people won't. They won't look hard. They'll get away. I don't want to do this. They'll jump on at the wrong phase in the market cycle. So we'll talk about that later. We made a lot of money over these last 2 years. But now it's time. Now it's time to take those gains and move them into other asset classes. And the reason is because stocks ain't gonna last forever. You gotta understand that, man. You can't have all your money in one place. It's very dangerous to have all your money in one asset class. An asset class is stocks. So I've been very clear about this over the last year, that I've been moving a lot of my money into real estate, right? Buying real estate properties, real estate investment trust. I've been moving some money out of the stock class, out of the crypto class, because I have too much money in those assets classes right now. So you can't keep all your money in one place because you have to diversify. And remember, we talked about a few months ago, is on this wealth building journey, what do we do? It's what I personally do. I can't tell you what to do, but what I personally do is that I don't know about you, but I ain't going back to poverty. I'm not going back to Summit Heights. I'm not going back to the hood in Clarksville, Tennessee. So how do I stop that? We create these backstops, right? So if I make a lot of money in an option, I make a lot of money in the stocks, I make a lot of money in a business deal, what do? I take that money, create a backstop, right? So that means if everything fails going forward, I can always go back to something. And that's the reason why I have a house paid off. That's the reason why I buy these properties. So and people say, hey, man, why are you buying them with cash? Why wouldn't you use leverage and make more money? Because I want to make sure that I have a backstop, because I'm not going back. And I don't know about you, but I'm not going back. And that's why I consistently talk about risk management, because that's one of the things I believe is the strongest, one of the most strongest concepts you got to understand to be able to go along this wealth building journey. Because a lot of people will never tell you about that. Oh man, just look at the upside. You can make all this money in vending machines. You can make all this money and flipping pallets or whatever they're talking about. But does anybody ever tell you about risk management? Very few people will talk about that, because that's not sexy. Nobody wants to hear about risk management. I don't want to hear about that. I'd rather just sit around and dream about how much money I would make. But is that the right way, is to keep one eye on profit and the other eye on risk management? That's the right way to go forward. The right way ain't just to always dream about how much you're going to make. No, that's just somebody trying to sell you something. That's what it is. Now, to tell you about risk management, that may be why I'm losing followers. Whatever, not losing followers, but losing stuff like, you know, I ain't getting as many live views as I got. But that's because a lot of people are on YouTube right now. But the reason is that's what I'm saying, because that's not sexy. Nobody wants to hear about that. Well, risk management, I could lose money. I'm just going to turn this dude off. I want to talk here. Listen, this other dude is talking about how much I can make. But that's not the right way, right? We got to take that money and invest in other classes. Real Estate Investment Trust, I agree. But for those of you who don't know what real estate investment trusts are, is that real estate investment trusts are a vehicle, which there's a company. Now, what the company does is that instead of me investing directly in the real estate, like buying a condo, buying a house, buying an investment property, renting it out, Airbnb or whatever, buy a share, like you buy a stock in a company who already does that, right? So this whole company's purpose of being is to rent or provide some kind of income off of owning properties or whatever, you leasing properties, whatever they do. So what I do is I buy a share of that company, and now I take part in the profits that company makes. But what does that do for me? It allows me to get, instead of having to put all my money up buy a property, I get a percentage of what that company does. So how the companies, man, they could probably manage it better than me. They should have a good real estate investment trust. We'll have a better team than you could have. That would be more efficient than you are. They should be able to bring more profit than you can off of one or two houses. I don't put all my money into that. This is a way that I diversify within the real estate asset class. I will also own property. So that's what I'm doing right now. And I encourage you guys to look into it. Now, I can't tell you how to manage your own finances, but I can tell you that you have to be aware of these things, because the worst thing that could happen is we've done all this work over the last 2 years and you just lose everything because something happens in China, like that Evergrande company, or something crazy happens, or something happens to Biden. Because if something happens to Biden, he passes away, or God forbid, or something like that, the market is going to crash. So anything like that, you don't know what could possibly happen. That's why we got to constantly watching, constantly practicing risk management. So on to Bitcoin and China, right? So it's been a scary week in crypto, right? It's been a scary week with the Evergrande thing. And then China banned crypto China's always been playing around with it. Yeah, we're going to ban it, banks. We're going to do this. But this week they said, look, man, we banned all of it. I don't want crypto in the whole country. So you can't have, Bitcoin is illegal by every possible definition in China now. You can't perform any transaction at all, right? If the president passed away, the market crash. Yeah, if something happens to the sitting president, the market will crash. It's because you got to remember, this is a good lesson, uncertainty. Uncertainty always makes the market crash. Anytime there's uncertainty, people panic and sell. People don't sit around thinking, I don't know if this is going to, they just panic and sell. So any type of uncertainty in the economic system, in the structure of society, anything, everybody just sells. They don't try to figure it out. They just sell. That's why you got to understand it. It could be something completely out. The president passes away. Nobody knows who's the next president. What's going to, I don't know. Then people just say, I'm not going to deal with all this. I'm just selling. So every time there's uncertainty, there will be selling. So back to what I was saying, is that it's been a scary week in crypto, right? But the thing about it is that I see a lot of hope in the market. And I'm going to tell you why. Is that China's always, since 2017, they've been saying little stuff, banning it here, shutting down this. And up until now, they go back to June when they banned the mining operations. Bitcoin dropped like 30, 40% because of them. So then China tries to do it again. They said, look, man, we're going to ban it completely. Now, common knowledge would have told you that it would have crashed the market, but it didn't. It was just a little bit of selling. So Bitcoin was at 48, now it's at 44, 43. So China couldn't even affect it like they did for the last three, four years. They didn't even affect it. So that's actually a positive sign for Bitcoin. And that brings us back to what's called the law of diminishing returns. And that's what a lot of us have to understand, this concept in things that we do. And that's what China should have understood it, but I guess at least they could bring it down a little bit. So what the law of diminishing returns states is that in advertising, most things that are financial, once you do something and then you do it again and you do it again, every time you do it, you're not going to get as big a return as you the first time. And that's anything. So if I do something, let's say I market some kind of product and I put it out there and I get like millions of dollars off of it. Now, if I do it again, it's not going to be the same return. And every time I do it after that, it's going to be less and less return. So that Hal said that they didn't like it, that they're done with Bitcoin. The first time it hit us hard. Second time it wasn't that hard. Third time it's not even hard no more. People get tired of it. They're not going to do nothing. So the law of diminished return says that every time you do something, every time you do it, the value or the return on it is going to be lower each time. So that's exactly what happened. So the S&P was down 3% the day that JFK was assassinated. Now look at it over the next week, though. The one day, they don't matter because it depends on what time he got assassinated. Now look at the next day and the day after. Now look at the S&P over the week after he was assassinated. Now, and I want you to do something else that's even more. I want you to look at the day that Ronald Reagan got assassinated because it was more uncertainty. Now he attempted. He was attempted. I'm sorry. Because it was a lot more uncertainty then. Now look at that day. I think it fell like 12, 13%. And S&P dropping 3% is a lot. Really, the whole S&P is a lot. That's like, today it would be like 800 points, 700 points. So that was all. So I just want to talk about two things. So you guys got to keep your, you know, you got to think a lot about it. Make sure you're careful because there's a lot of Bitcoin scams going on, man. I don't want a lot of you guys to get caught into this stuff, man. Is that there was a big scam. It was two big scams this week with Bitcoin, right? Is that somebody took over. Bitcoin.org is one of the biggest sites in crypto. So somebody actually took that site over and told people if they sent a certain amount of Bitcoin to this site, send them back double. And a lot of people fell for it. You got to be careful with that stuff. There's no, in Bitcoin, I'm going to tell you right now, especially in Bitcoin, there's no way to quick money. Anybody that's trying to double, triple, quick, I'm telling you like this, I'm going to break it down. In any instance with crypto, if you have to send your crypto to somebody you barely know or don't know at all, or even if you know them, it's probably a high risk. And you expect to get a return off of it, somebody's just going to send it back to you, 99% of the time, you're going to be ripped off. In any case, if somebody says, all you got to do is send me your Bitcoin, and I'm going to respond, I'm going to send it back to you out of the goodness of my heart with more money, it's a scam. I promise you, 99.9% of the time. So we just got to understand that. There's no such thing as free money, especially in Bitcoin, because once they got it, what's the incentive to give it back? Why would they give you, they already got it. See what I'm saying? They got it and there's nothing you can do about it. They got it and there's no way you can get it back. So why are they going to send you, they're not going to do that. They're just going to steal your money. Every single time, there's no trading pools. And so somebody copied my profile today and was approached people about a trading pool. Now all that stuff is fake, man. They'll get you because every single time it's fake. Nobody. So let's move on. So I want to talk about financial technology because then I want to talk about the stock that I think is going to do extremely well in the next 90 days to 3 to 6 months. There's one company that I really believe is going to do very good over the next, let's say, 3 to 6 months. And I'm putting a good amount of money into this company over that time. So I want to talk a little bit about fintech because that fintech is what's going to help us understand why this stock is going to be extraordinary over the next 3 to 6 months. So they closed it for the markets on, yeah, it fell 7% in the days after. It was tanking after because, yeah, I don't want to go into what happened. What really happened with Reagan is that somebody shot Reagan. Nobody, they didn't really have no like success. They really didn't have a plan. So one of the dudes went up to the front of things and said, hey, I'm in charge now. And then everybody thought it was like a coup attempt. And then the markets crashed because they didn't know, because they actually didn't have a plan to manage that from a optic standpoint in the media. So it looked so bad in the media, everybody was panicking. So when you panic, like I said, the market drops. So that's what I don't want to get into the whole story, but if you look it up, it's a pretty weird story. I'm going to tell you, there's one stock out there that's going to do extremely well because it's extraordinarily placed to do well. I gave it really 3 to 6 months. I can see it going up 40, 50, 60%. So let's talk a little bit about fintech, right? Financial technology. Financial technology is actually, now before we do get into this, I want you guys on YouTube to do me a favor. I want you to share this live on your Facebooks right now with your friends, with your family, because this is stuff that's very important, right? Now I want everybody to know. I want to make sure this information gets out to as many people as possible. And people on Instagram, I want you guys to share this live with as many people as possible. I'm about to drop a stock right now. This may change some people's lives going into the future because Square was a fintech company, one of the first modern ones, because fintech's been around a lot. One of the most, I would say, one of the first modern fintech companies. So Square came out 5 years ago. Guess where it's at today? Every dollar you put into Square 5 years ago turned into 21. So 21 times your money in 5 years. So fintech, like we said, has been in the background for years. It's getting popular now. Right now, it's getting popular. Right now, it's getting popular. I'm going to tell you why. It's because back in the day, fintech was behind the scenes, right? ACH payments. It was back office type stuff. Is that ACH, any kind of system, APIs that move money around, that was all financial technology, but it was in the background. Nobody really talked. It was stuff that you programmed in the systems. Money moved from one system to another. Payroll systems, it was fintech in that, but nobody really was, it was on the forefront. But now it's moving from the back to the front. And that's what Square is. Square, like I said, Square was a company that hit the market and it disrupted the entire market with Cash App and all this stuff. And it was before nobody could transfer money. Like if you wanted to transfer, you had to go to the bank had to do it for you. You could do it through a bank, but it was no app out there. Cash App was one of the first to allow you to do that. So it created a whole new type of financial technology that didn't exist before for regular people. And that's what we're talking about with this new financial technology, fintech explosion is coming soon, is that all this stuff, like Walmart is going to do layaway with a firm. It's going to be, and I'm going to tell you another reason why financial technology is going to take over. That you got to be able to understand what's happening around you. And it's another report that I read. That report said that the average millennial, and this is actually scary, but it actually is a good place for fintech to fit in. Fintech's not a company. Financial technology is a type of technology, right? But back to what I was saying is that if we look around us, we see the need for this. Uber had to change their payments to daily because people could not manage their money enough to get through one, or maybe they just didn't get a livable wage. I don't want to get into the reasons why, but it used to be you got paid every 2 weeks with Uber. People demanded that they get paid every day. So now they get paid every day. So a lot of people are demanding. If you look around, a lot of people they want their money daily, which is actually a good thing, to be honest. They don't want their money every 2 weeks. They want it daily. This is an opportunity for fintech. Anytime money moves at a faster rate, somebody has to process. Somebody has to manage it. So with that being said, another thing we see, and I read a report earlier today. It was about millennials. So the average millennial household, the average household ran by a millennial. The income is $74,000 a year. And the average outgoing expenses is $73,500. The average millennial spends $208 a day, every single day. That's average. That's average. That means that most people who are millennials, like I'm the first year of a millennial, I'm 1981. So I'm the first one, first year of millennials. Everybody after that. So people in my, I'm more of like a, I don't consider myself a millennial, but technically I'm one. But in this generation, we're spending all the money we make. So what does that mean? We can't make it without financial technology, credit cards, cash apps, advances. All of this stuff is going to be, it's because of the environment and the psychology and the mentality of people in this generation is completely different than the generation before. Saving money, saving for a rainy day, that's going out the window with most people. So what that means is that there's a great opportunity right now for financial technology to close these gaps. Hey, and like I said, it's nothing. It may not be bad. Maybe this is just a different way that people want to live their lives. Maybe we don't need savings like we had to because financial technology will replace those gaps. Maybe, I don't know. I'm not saying that I still believe in saving money now, maybe because I got a little bit of my mom and my grandfather in me. I believe in saving a little bit, right? Not don't be crazy saving. I don't believe that Dave Ramsey type stuff. I believe you should have enough for a rainy day. But maybe we're moving into a time where that may not be as, with financial technology filling those gaps, maybe it's not as important as it once was. I don't know. But it seems like there's some kind of transformation happening with financial technology, right? That's what it seems to me. And I want to be on the forefront making money, right? Because 5 years ago, like I said, you put a dollar in the Square, you would have $21 now. So that means if you put $10,000 in the Square, you'd have $210,000. Let's say you put $40,000 in the Square. Let's say you put $50,000 in the Square, you'd have $1.1 million. If you 5 years ago, you put $50,000 in the Square, or you just would have put money into it over 3 years, 2 years, you just put $50,000 over 2 years into it, you'd have $1.1 million in stock value. That's how much it went up, 21 times. Now imagine you had an option. You had an option, you would have got 100, 200 times gains. There's something happening with fintech right now, and you guys got to get in on it. You got to understand it, right? Because we're in accumulation phase right now with fintech. Now, if you look into it, Facebook's putting money into it. PayPal, Square, a lot of these big banks, if you look into it, JP Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, all investing heavily in the fintech. So what does that mean? We're in accumulation phase. Now, I hope I've trained you guys and let you see what's happening around you over the last 2 years. Now, what have we talked about? When you see these moves happening, Walmart putting money into it, JP Morgan, we see Goldman Sachs. What does that mean? That there's something about to happen. Right? So I'm not saying use that to make those moves, but you have to understand that something could be happening. I got to research this and see if this is the right move for me. So there's a company out there that is prime, in a prime position to make a lot of money off of this transformative time in financial technology. Now, what is that stock? So right now, like I said, it's a 3 to 6 month trade for me. So I'm hoping we can make some money on this over the next 3 to 6 months. It's not going to be a 1-2 week trade. And when, like we said, we don't know if the market's going to crash, so we don't know. But if that doesn't happen, even if it does happen, it's going to be a little bit longer. So the stock that we're talking about right now is an all-in-one personal finance app, right? So it's almost just like Square's Cash App, but it's a lot more to it. It's like Cash App that offered loans that would help you pay your student loans, that would offer you credit cards, that would allow you to transfer money, that would allow you to do a lot of things that Cash App won't let you do right now. You can buy crypto, you can invest, right? Actually, Cash App has expanded a little bit into Bitcoin, crypto, and stocks, but this stock is an all-in-one app. That's what they already got 2 million people signed up. Now, the good thing about it is that we're 1 year into when they first got listed on the stock market, right? After the API, I'm thinking like a software, the IPO. After the IPO, it's been about a year. You like I always tell you guys, I like to wait about a year after the IPO to make sure that there's nothing crazy going to happen with this stock. So we're past that time period. So we're in a great time. This stock has already got through the growing pains of the first year. It's right at the crest the crest of this fintech movement that's coming. So it's a light. The thing about it is that Square and PayPal have a lot of downloads, right? And this stock's app doesn't have as many downloads. So we see it as an opportunity to get in on the ground floor. The risk versus reward is very strong and high on this particular stock. So like I said, September 22nd, 4 days ago, analysts have upgraded it to 20. And we all know what happens when analysts upgrade a stock, right? You normally will meet that price. Right now, it's at about $16, $17. Analysts say it's going to 25 here soon. So with all of that being said, it's like a 44% upside on this stock right now. So will this company, the question is, will this company be the next fintech disruptor, right? Square was a few years ago. So will it be the next disruptor? You never know for sure. But on the other hand, we know that the risk versus reward is pretty high on this stock. That means that the risk is low, the reward is a lot higher. So that's a nice decision. That's an easy decision to make, I should say. So what is that stock? What stock is it? What do you guys think it is? Like I said, we do have those. You can actually buy we analyze these stocks, so you can buy those documents if you want them after this is over. And it's the link in my bio, like I said. So the stock we're talking about, like I said, some people already figured it out. It's called SoFi, SoFi, right? S-O-F-I. Now watch everybody drop off. But that's the stock we're talking about, right? Now I'm going to start buying some into the next week. Try to average in over the next week, hopefully to get to 25 here soon. Maybe I think it has a potential to go to 30, past 30, 35 over the next 3 to 6 months. Now, we don't know if the whole market falls because the whole market, we're at a point right now where we are at a dangerous point in the market. It could fall any day. Like it's overdue for a crash, to be honest. If it does crash, right, all this stuff is invalid. But I think that I'm pretty sure that it is a good choice. I think you just have to hold it longer. If the market does crash, just be a longer hold. But I think we'll get our profits in about 3 to 6 months. That's what I'm predicting. Like I said, I can't tell you what to buy and sell. It's up to you. You make your own decisions. You make your own judgment. I'm just telling you what I'm doing, right? So the second stock is Grinstone Bio. I still think it's a good stock. I still think we're in a good position. that stock's at. It's down a little bit from last week. Last week, I think it was at 12. Now we're like a little bit down. But I think I'm still holding it. I still think that this stock is going to do well. I still think it may be a little bit of a short squeeze potential coming on this stock. And like I said, I'm still holding it. And I think that it will start to see some profit here in the next week or two, I believe. FinTech is not a stock. It's a group of stocks. It's an industry. Financial technology is an industry. It's not a stock. I appreciate you guys for joining me on Strategy Sunday. I hope you guys have a great night. Hope you guys have a great work week. I'm actually going to try to do a daily show, like when the market opens, like 30 minutes every morning, but I haven't really set it up yet. So hopefully I can do that. So like I said, I hope you guys have a great day. Thanks for joining. Hope you guys have a great rest of your night. Thank you for joining today's podcast. I really appreciate your support. If you want more wealth building information, education, and tips in stock market, crypto, and other assets such as real estate, follow me on Instagram and also on YouTube. It's the same name, Tall Guy Tycoon. That's TallGuyTycoon. The link is also in the description. Also, you can support this podcast by donations. That link is also in the description. I hope each and every one of you has a great week. And again, thanks for listening.